Class, anybody, what comes next? The fries, you're right. After that, the pieces of tomato. The coleslaw on top with just enough force gets that other piece of bread to the top, makes the wrapper go over, doubles, and slides.
How good is that? 844 Coach Kiss Show, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. Doc Emrick talking about the Primanti Brothers sandwich in Pittsburgh. Coach Q joins us now, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint, and a treat for you today, Coach. We have Doc Emrick live in studio.
It really is. Well, how good is that right there, right in downtown Chicago?
Well,
right here.
On top of that, you know, no more dopey questions for me. Doc's here. You're going to have to actually, you better be on your game today, Coach.
Somehow or other, I think he's going to be fine.
Doc, you first. What would you like to say to Coach Q?
Anthony Duclair, where is he, and what do you expect, and how soon?
Well, we expect him to play tonight, and I think he adds an element to our team that speed and quickness, and he's good off the rush. Alfie had him in New York, and I think he's shown signs that he can be a top guy, and I think getting that consistency, something I think he's got to be excited about this opportunity. Looking forward to talking to him here this morning. So I just think that. Coming from there and coming in this situation where you got a chance to make the playoffs and go from there, and a lot to prove is something that we're looking forward to see. His opportunity is going to be pretty good right off the bat here tonight, and got a chance to even improve off of who he gets to play with as well.
Well, Winnipeg's got the most points in the Central, and they've won 3 straight, 7 out of 10. If this one goes well for you tonight, what do you expect off the start?
Well, we had a great game against them. Might have been our best first period of the year in their building not so long ago. So starts are always important. They're fast, they're quick, very agile and mobile defense. We'll have to play very tight defensively. We got to play quicker than we did the last 40 minutes against Minnesota, as you watched. And so I think that was a tough game to lose, knowing that how meaningful those points were against Minnesota.
Sure.
We got to be way more consistent from start to the end. I think that consistency of our game, managing the puck, can be better with it.
Well, I feel bad jumping in here with Doc sitting right next
bad.
To me.
You feel bad. Wait till you hear my question.
Are you seeing more consistency? Joel, are you seeing more consistency in general now over the last 6-7 games?
Yes, in games, certainly better stretches. Last game, there's some opportunities. We had some zone time. We had a lot of looks. Not the quality we would have liked, but I think that's, I just think whether it's a net presence or finding a way to get there and then that loose stuff in front of the net cashing in. But I thought we were, there was potentially a lot of good opportunities last game that didn't materialize. I think that's the area that we can be better at, and I thought we showed good signs of it over this recent stretch.
And I think that's something we see when the Hawks struggle, and not just the Hawks, any team, but you get a high-energy first period like they had against Minnesota, and the puck doesn't find the back of the net, but you keep putting pucks on net, and it's good. But then it seems like maybe the energy drops off a little bit. And if you get that kind of intense start, don't you have to keep it going?
Well, I think in every game, the other team's going to get a turn where they're going to get, chances and zone time and a little bit of momentum their way, whether it's a power play that ignites that or, they're going to eventually come at you. And I think Minnie's one of those teams when you play against them, they're going to try to frustrate you. They play a low-chance game, and it's not the quality that you like to get as players. And so you got to play accordingly, and sometimes staying with that patience is a game plan, and you got to make sure that that commitment's there, because it doesn't always have to be a pretty game, and you don't get the perfect plays against them, and you got to score ugly goals, and that willingness is goes a long way to coming out with 2 points. And Winnipeg plays maybe a little bit more open game, recognize that at the same time, you just don't want to exchange chances.
When Bufflin left here and eventually ended up in Winnipeg, it feels like we never got another great big butt where you could park him right in front of the net. and handle that trash and pick up those loose change and handle those chip ins and things. When you get outsized but you have speed, is that a tough coaching thing to pull off?
Well, I think you have a guy like a Buff that has a net presence, and we had the luxury of having Buff on the back end with a shot. Our net presence had a really disruptive effect on our opponents in a couple of real big playoff series with Buff. Whether it was Luongo in front of the net, San Jose series. I think he created a lot of trouble for the opponent goalies, and I think that when we have a good power play, there's a net front guy, whether it was Shaughnessy in the back, and Pan was pretty effective at it, and Hartsey's gets a turn, Johnny sometimes. But I think that that look is, if the goalie sees pucks nowadays on the power play or any time, 5-on-5, they're going to find a way to stop it. So I think that it's an effective tool no matter who does it. You don't have to be the biggest guy in the world, but that willingness to get there and finding a way to stay around it is the best way of being effective.
So Sharp sits for two games, and now he's got 3 goals and 5, and Murphy sits for a game, and he got an assist right away, and Seabrook sits for a game, and he's gotten a goal. This cannot be fun for you, and it can't be fun for a player. When does it take place, and how do you start? I mean, how do you talk to them about this?
Well, it's a, I think when we look at our roster this year, we've had 23 guys around. We've got 3 extra players on a game-to-game basis. We've had stretches where we haven't changed the lineup at all, and we've gone along here. We've got a lot of we had 8 defensemen, now 9 with Gustafson here. 8 of them have had a chance to miss a game. Obviously, it's nothing that they want to hear. It's always a tough news to deliver. I mean, being fair and objective, and doing based on evaluating and decision making based on performance, it's that close in a lot of these decisions, and they're tough. And but we usually tell them after the morning skate, sometimes before warm ups. That's when you get the message, and certainly it's not nothing, especially when you got experienced guys like a Sharpie and a Siebes that been such a big part of our team, and delivering that's not the easiest news, but they both handle it like pros, and do whatever they can to help the team when they get back in.
This could probably come from Andrea, because Eddie Olczyk tells me she likes to hit the $2 window now and then.
All right, but every now and again.
Yes. From your experience.
$2 window, okay.
Yeah.
I don't have those $2 windows anymore.
That's right. They're fives and tens.
It's the window anymore.
Okay. It's a window in an ATM machine.
Back through your playing days, and coaching Colorado and St. Louis and here, and back through your experience in the other sport, who are more temperamental, goalies or jockeys?
Temperamental. Okay. I know one thing. The goalies have their union, and for being different, whether temperamental or not, are part of it. So I'm going to say that's a little bit. So I don't know jockeys as well as I know goalies, but I do know jockeys' competitiveness. And, they're both extremely competitive, the temperamental part. I'm going to say goalies are definitely different than jocks, than any profession, okay? They got their own unit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Who would be more uncomfortable to be caught in a broken elevator, goalies or jockeys? Now listen,
you'd probably be a little bit with the jockey size, you might be able to be spend a couple extra minutes. It might be a little tighter in there with the big.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, there's a lesson from today. Last word for you, Doc.
Eddie Olczyk texted this in. He wants to know, this year's Kentucky Derby winner, will it be from the East Coast or the West Coast? Ask the coach.
Well, it's so early in the campaign, and it's that time of year now where all the horsemen and owners they're excited about their chances of getting that winner and that thrill of a lifetime of being a Derby winner. So it's way too early. I don't know. Mike Pegram's got a nice 2-year-old out in the West Coast, and I'll be rooting for him right now. And so we'll see what happens. And the horse is McKinley or something like that. I can't think of the horse's name right off the bat. He's won a couple big stakes out in California. He's got a good shot, but it's still way too early. There's probably horses we haven't even seen or heard about that are definitely going to be on the campaign.
Look at you. Look at you. Doc Emrick.
Eddie probably got a horse right now that I think he probably thinks can win.
Right, and he's probably seeing if you're matching up.
Eddie, we're always thinking, Eddie, good luck, Eddie, going forward here. We're pulling for you.
He's doing great. By the way, as player coach, I mostly made me a healthy scratch during the segment. I don't know if you noticed.
That's a good one.
All right. Hey, Coach, we'll see you this week. It's a big weekend. Two tonight with Winnipeg. Get those 2 points and then get 2 more against the Red Wings. We don't see them enough, so it'd be fun to come back Monday with 4 in the bank. But have fun out there.
All right. Thanks, gang.
Thanks.
Thanks.
And it's sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. Dave, you've been in this game a long time. How would you rate young Doc Emrick's performance there?
I think he's got a chance. I think he's got a future in this business.